The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
I'm searching for. I talked to 147 people yesterday. They all of them, every one of them had a great Christmas.
You'd like to hear somebody say, actually, it was
I am in search this morning of the person that did not have a good Christmas.
My Christmas sucked.
In fact, that may ever. When people ask me that today, that just may become my answer. I had a great
Christmas.
Just
to see their reaction?
Do you have a good Christmas? Oh, yeah, I had a good Christmas. You know.
It's like the same thing with Thanksgiving. I mean.
Hey, did you have a good Christmas? No, it sucked. Turkey was dry. The ham was overcooked.
I didn't get what I wanted.
The in-laws fought with each other. We had a wrestling match in the front.
Yeah, I had a Christmas vacation type of Christmas where everything just went wrong. Oh, yeah. And that's just funny because it's almost like Christmas is such a wonderful time of the year that if you come out and you say, I had a terrible Christmas, people kind of wonder. It's like, I mean, how do you have a terrible Christmas?
You think about all the stupid things we ask. And you forget about it. But that's exactly what we do every year in the few days following. Do you have a good Christmas? Oh, do you have a good Christmas? We just feel obligated. It's the obligatory start to any conversation right now. Hey, did you have a good Christmas? Yes.
Yes, we did.
I'm going to just start saying no. No, it really wasn't very good.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, just to see the reaction, because I think people would be so shocked by that. Shocked that you did not have a good Christmas.
And then just start giving the craziest reasons why,
That's a good idea. So there you go, have it. If you ask Tommy Kraft about his Christmas, he's going to give you the right answer.
Am I the only one that, ran into 147 people yesterday and had to answer that same question? And I was just as guilty of asking.
Yeah. No, I did not run into 147 people.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was guilty of saying the same thing. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was great. Family and fun. Food. So kind of like the three Fs there that really make Christmas great. Family, fun, and food. That's what I had. And that's what was great about it. But no, I think it's just, it's like the comedian Bill Engvall. I don't know if you remember him. And he always says, people asking stupid questions.
Here's your sign.
Yeah. I mean, did you get your truck stuck? No, I was delivering this underpass and I ran out of gas. It's kind of the same thing when it comes to the questions that sometimes people ask. But the thing is, it's not like, it's almost out of like a courtesy thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a friendly, I wouldn't say an icebreaker because most people know you, but it's just a friendly like, hey,
it's the obligatory start to the conversation.
Yeah, I'm checking in on you. Just want to make sure that the enjoyable time of the year was enjoyable for you.
I just want to make sure you had a good Christmas.
Yes. So it's not like it's a rude thing or anything like that.
It's the same thing like you go to someone's house. Hey, do you got a bathroom? No. No, we crap in the yard.
Yeah.
No, we go outside. We built this house, this new house. Built it 3 years ago, but we decided bathrooms were overrated.
But their intent, though. That's the thing.
The thing is, people already think I'm a smart aleck. So if I answer that way.
No, not that.
If I answer that way, it just gets worse.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Hey, you got a bathroom?
Mm-mm. Nope. Got an outhouse.
Yeah.
Go out there.
See that tree?
It. Yeah.
Front side for number one, back side for number two.
Separate themselves, yeah. I mean, no, but that's
why just, there's so many leaves on the backside.
Well, it's just
well fertilized.
It's just funny that we all do that, though. We all do it.
I'm just as guilty.
Yeah. And it's just, you wonder why.
Maybe that's what every call we have that, hey, John, hey, Bill, whoever calls. Melanie, do you have a good Christmas? Why, yeah.
I don't know, but people are listening. They're going to start coming in and stealing your idea and saying, I didn't.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm after today.
It was terrible. No,
hey, did you have a good Christmas? No, it sucked, and here's why.
You know what's even more awkward than that? Asking someone just like you ask everybody, did you have a good Christmas? I don't celebrate Christmas. Oh. It's like, what do you say to that? Because there's some people out there that do not celebrate Christmas for religious reasons or whatever, which is fine. But
how about that football game?
Yeah, you're just like, what'd you do?
Hey, did you see the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all you can say. It's like, where do you go from there? Where's that next step?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to say, because you don't want to come off rude and just be like, well, what in the world do you do then? What are you doing? It's like, but you just get stuck in this rut and you just assume sometimes that everybody celebrates Christmas. And then when you find out that, oh, they don't celebrate, it's kind of like, oh, well. And then you don't want to start guessing which holiday they celebrate. So you just really find yourself in a bind. And you try to just, you know, move on the conversation as quickly as possible. Now, that's also a very awkward thing, is when you ask people and they say, no, I don't celebrate Christmas. And you're like, well, whoops.
Because do we ask, I mean, do you walk up, hey, did you have a good Easter? Hey, did you have a good 4th of July? I mean, I don't think in a week we're going to be saying, hey, did you have a good New Year?
No.
Quite like we do Christmas.
I think you say, did you have a good Thanksgiving? I think people ask that.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think it's just for the extended holidays, because Thanksgiving's an extended holiday. Christmas is an extended holiday.
But I'm still looking for the one that had a bad one, you know?
Mm. Well, you don't want anyone to have a bad Christmas.
No, but, I mean, surely we don't bat 1,000 on this deal.
But it's like, it's got to be really bad for you to have a bad Christmas, I feel like. Because it's like, even if something went wrong, it's like, okay, well, the kids were still happy because they got some gifts, or... You know, obviously good to see family. Like, even if your house flooded, it's like, well, the kids were happy with the toys they got. Or, you know, there's always got to be some type of justification to it. Because, like I said, it's got to be really bad for you to come out and say, no, I had a horrible Christmas. Like, you have to have a Christmas vacation type of Christmas where the tree gets set on fire, the cat explodes, a squirrel's in your tree, your family's causing all these issues, you know. Your aunt wrapped her cat as a present. Like, you got to have pretty much everything go wrong for you to have a bad Christmas, in my opinion. But, and maybe that should be something we should ask people. Just, it may not have to be this past, but it's like, have you, well, here's what, Tommy, you celebrate what, 42, 43 Christmases now?
I'll be 43 next Monday.
Can you think of a quote unquote bad Christmas that you've ever had?
No.
See, and that's, I mean, I can't either. I can't think of a time.
But it's been years of therapy suppressing several years.
Yeah, well, that's probably
82. 88, 94, 01.
Say, you've got really specific years there.
You know, but years of therapy helped put it all behind me.
Oh, thank goodness. That's what it's there for. But no, I'm curious about that, because it's like, okay, obviously people maybe not had a bad Christmas, but it's like, what defines a bad Christmas for people? I mean, Ty, have you ever had a bad?
Yes.
Of course, because you didn't get one something. Didn't you?
Shut up. The one white Christmas in Little Rock, we went to Rogers for my grandparents, and I told my dad we were never, ever traveling for Christmas again. He said, okay.
So that was bad because you weren't where you wanted to be.
In terms of snow. Yeah. I've never been disappointed in, like, gifts or anything, but...
But would you say that Christmas sucked?
Yes, that whole trip, because my grandparents made us stay in till 9 o'clock. We couldn't wake up till 9 a.m., and we were like... 7 and 8, so we wanted to be up at...
Why couldn't you wake up till 9 a.m.?
Well, they wouldn't let us go downstairs and, like,
see your
be
new
up and
gifts.
Open presents.
See
till 9 a.m.?
Yeah, it was so annoying, and I love my grandparents, but I was so irritated with them that day.
Boy, you talk about that one being...
9 a.m.?
That'd be frustrating.
It was late.
If it's past 7 a.m.
7?
To go down there and get them when you, I
that's
mean,
way. I mean, I'm,
well, that's what I'm saying. That's the latest you could do it.
Maybe it was 8, but it was a time where we used to get up at 6:30. Maybe I'm overblown.
And you're having
to
sit there and wait anxiously to see what Santa.
Yeah,
brought
and
you.
I'm up at like 5:30 at the time when I'm young. Just
because everyone's excited. Yeah,
full of anxiety.
Yeah. Man, 9 a.m.
That's the worst Christmas. But I mean, even at that point, it wasn't bad. It was just annoying because the timing and the fact that it was a white Christmas in Little Rock when I wasn't there.
Is anybody shocked that Ty's the one guy that had the bad Christmas on this show because of the snow? Well, I can understand the frustrations, though. I can definitely understand the frustrations. But, no, that's funny. Maybe, hey, if anybody's out there and actually had a bad Christmas at some point in your time, in your life, I want to know what it was. I want to know why it was bad. What made it a bad Christmas? You can tweet at us at HitThatLineAR, or you can call in at 877-377-6963.
Here's the other one. Did Santa come to see you?
Did you make the naughty list?
Santa come to see you? That's the other one we all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he did. I saw him.
I was about to ask you, Tom.
We had a nice visit over milk and cookies.
As long as you made the nice list, that's what it's about. You got to make the nice list.
I don't know about Santa. Santa at my house enjoys a nice, you know, a nice vodka and a... And a slice of pizza. Yeah, I don't know about y'all, Santa, but...
Yeah, when Santa takes a break
Santa,
when it comes to Santa's Tommy's
a little,
house.
Santa's a little tired of milk and cookies when it gets to my house.
Yeah, he goes raiding the liquor cabinet there at Tommy Kraft's house.
Stiff cocktail and some leftover ribs.
Hey,
Santa prefers.
For the job he has to pull off there, Hey, even Santa deserves a little sauce there to try,
exactly.
to try to get through the night.
Needs a little ethanol to get
exactly
back to the North Pole.
try to help him out there. So,
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skipping. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Now, we haven't had a chance to have Nick Mason on the show to be able to talk about this Razorback basketball team and what I would call a recent struggle, a team that obviously does not look the same as what they did in the beginning of the year. Past four games, they've gone 2-2. Of course, losing to Western Kentucky and Georgia Tech, both at Bud Walton Arena. They beat Texas.
Back-to-back home losses, man.
Yeah, I mean,
that doesn't even sound right.
And especially when
you're not counting the one in Little Rock as a home game? Huh?
Were you able to watch the game, Tommy?
So it didn't happen?
It did not happen. It's like the Serve Pro Bowl game. It did not happen.
It's like it never happened.
But they did beat Texas San Antonio there in Little Rock.
Right. When they had their home jerseys.
Exactly. And then Texas State was a struggle. Now, people look at that record of Texas State. It's like, hey, this may be a decent
team. One-loss
team. Yeah,
yeah.
But 73-70, they get the one-possession win. So people are really just
Was it really a three-point game, though? Wasn't a three-point game.
They hit some threes late.
To make. I mean, it was one of those games where the final – I mean, usually the final score, it's the other way around, where the team that wins – hit some free throws late because the other team was fouling, and they end up winning by 12 when really it was a three-point game. This was like the 180 of that, where this was really about a 10-point game. And Texas,
late it was, but now throughout the first half and then early in the second, and it seemed like every time Arkansas got ready to pull away, Texas State would hit a three and get a turnover and get a layup, and then right when Arkansas was at 7-8 and you thought it was going to go to 15, it'd go back down to 4. And they build it back up 7, 8, 9, 10, and go back down to 4.
But there was never really a moment you thought, they're in trouble. They're going to lose this game. I mean, I watched every second of this game. I never thought.
Not in the second half, especially.
Yeah, not late in the game. But it was not.
But they have definitely, to your point, seemed sluggish the last 2 weeks.
And then people are just trying to figure out, what is this team?
Yeah.
I know it's early, and you're going to really figure out what this team's about in conference play, but usually at least you have a good indication of what a team is or what they're capable of. But this team has been just so inconsistent the past few games, you don't really know what's going on.
They're not as bad as I told you they were going to be at the beginning of the year, but they're also far from as good as everybody was thinking they were after the first handful of games. There were a lot of people telling me this team was better than last year's team. Well, and in which, you know, because they were moving the basketball. But here's what happens. Whenever you have inexperience, and also, too, their roster's just not that talented. When you have those things, there are going to be games where you look good. There are going to be games where Arkansas hits a ton of threes and they move the basketball and Adriel's playing well and Gabe the Savior is out there. He's making plays and there are going to be those games. But more times than not, this team is a lot closer to the team that you saw play against Western Kentucky and also to the team that played against who else just beat them? Western Kentucky
and Georgia Tech.
And Georgia Tech. This team is a lot closer to that team than it is the team that beat Texas and the team that beat the team that should have beat Texas and beat Indiana.
And I don't know enough about Georgia Tech, but I tell you one thing that concerns me. Georgia turned around a few days later and beat them by like 11 or 12 at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
And not only that, have you seen who Western Kentucky has lost to?
Well,
everybody.
And no one's confusing Georgia with one of the best teams in the SEC.
Right.
So, I mean, if you want to play A plus B equals C, that's concerning about where you're headed for in this league when you think you need about 10 wins to maybe make a bid for being a bubble team. We're talking conference wins.
Right.
You know, so that's a little concerning to me right now. Can this team win 10 in the SEC? I don't know right now.
Well,
particularly with knowing where you have to go on the road in those 9 road games.
Yeah, and that's really the biggest problem is because just the schedule is very brutal for Arkansas in the conference slate.
It starts with playing the best three teams in the league, or if you think Kentucky's one of the best three, I think they are.
Yeah.
But Tennessee's certainly the best. Auburn and Kentucky are 2 and 3, depending on what order you want to put them in.
Tennessee's as legit as they come in the country.
You play all three. Yeah, I mean, there's
Yeah, you don't get a return
trip. They're a Final Four team.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate because you don't get a return home trip.
I'm okay with that because they probably beat you here too.
I know, but at least it would give you an opportunity to build your resume a little bit to get the victory.
There's never such thing as a good loss. I don't care what anyone tells you.
Yeah, to me, this isn't the year that you want to load up with Tennessee's and Kentucky. And
playing all those teams once would be okay.
You want to play Ole Miss seven times if you can.
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely that year. What you should be worried about is the back-to-back losses in Bud Walton. Because normally what you say is this. Okay, how many conference wins did this team get? You automatically give them seven because you go, they're going to win seven in Bud Walton, and you don't even look at the schedule. You just say, because of Bud Walton, because of the fans, because of how Arkansas protects their home court, they're going to win seven, period. You don't even look at the schedule. Then after that, you go try to find, okay, where can they get two on the road? Where can they get three on the road? And at the beginning of the season, when you're like, okay, can they go 2-7 on the road, which is horrible, but it's like 2-7 still gets you to 500 if you believe that Arkansas is going to protect Bud Walton. At this point, I don't think that you can say that anymore. I think right now you're going to have to go game by game, and it's not going to matter if it's at home or on the road because, I mean, Western Kentucky, like during the break, or in fact, Ty, pull up who Western Kentucky has lost to this year. And if you're looking at these aren't teams that are coming in here. It's not North Carolina coming in here. It's not Duke coming in here and losing those teams. You're losing the teams that came into Bud Walton with five losses and have lost since they've left Bud Walton. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Georgia Tech. Came into Bud Walton with, I think they may have four losses, and have lost since they left Bud Walton. So that's probably the thing that may have you the most puzzled or should have you the most worried. Is I don't think you can any longer say, okay, they're automatically going to win seven at Bud Walton, doesn't matter who they play. I don't think you can go with that for this season.
And if you want to look at who Western Kentucky lost to, they lost to Washington to start the year, which Washington is a top 25 team, but they lost Central Florida, Indiana State, Missouri State, Troy, and Belmont. I mean, those are their losses.
Belmont team, it's one of the better Belmont.
I think you said
let's break that one down.
And they had a good Christmas. I mean,
yeah. All I heard you say was Power Five, mid major.
Well,
that's all I heard. And they lost to all those teams.
All right, let me change the conversation here a little bit. The zone defense that Georgia Tech put on them, is that now a roadmap to how to just shut down? Because what was the halftime of that Georgia Tech game? It's like 32-31 or something like that.
Right.
And that game ended up in the 50s. I mean, that is like kryptonite for Arkansas. You cannot play. Arkansas just cannot win in those conditions.
Yeah.
How big an issue is this? Is Arkansas just underprepared to go against a zone defense? Is this something that they need to bone up on in practice? Because I got to feel like that game tape is going to recreate itself moving forward, where more teams are going to throw a zone at Arkansas, who is ill-prepared to deal with it that day.
Teams that don't play a lot of zone, you know, they're going to struggle playing against zone. Because, I mean, when Arkansas is practicing, what do you think they're practicing on the most? Hey, this team may play a zone, so let's practice all offseason for the two or three teams that may play a zone. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do have a zone. They do put in certain zone concepts, but they're going to struggle against a zone because majority of the time, the things they see, the things that they prepare for are man-to-man. And we know this. Mike is more of a, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not worried about what you're going to do. I don't care what you're coming in here and how you're going to do this and that. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to make you change, not the other way around.
Yeah, but I mean, you're the basketball expert. I'm an observer of the game, but I can just tell you, being an observer of the game, the motions and the way that team was playing offensively, talking about Arkansas, did not look right. The motion of the offense against that zone had no chance. It didn't appear to me.
Right, right. Well,
I mean, what'd you see?
And
I'm going back a couple of games here, but
yeah.
it was concerning to me because I'm like, any team that can put a decent zone defense on an opponent is going to come into Bud Walton and do this time and time again.
Well, it's not just that. The biggest issue, when you're playing with a bunch of mid-major guys on your roster, that stuff is going to happen. A lot of these times, okay, I want everybody to go out this weekend or this week and over the next week, watch Duke. Coach K, yeah, he's the best coach ever, blah, blah. Watch Duke. Coach K's not calling any sets. on defense, they're not rotating right, but they have two guys that can go get a basket. They have two guys that are lottery guys that are top five picks. And so that masks all of the, well, they're not moving around. Calipari does it every year. The years that he struggles, whenever he doesn't have those two or three lottery guys, because he's just rolling the ball out there. So a lot of what you're talking about, every team with mid-major players struggle at some point in time with doing these things, because a lot of this stuff isn't the coaches out here drawing up some great zone offense. It is you have a pro on your team, and he's going to get buckets, and he's making it easier for everybody else around him.
And you got one pro on this team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's a little more difficult to dominate a basketball game being a center. It just is. I mean, the guards have the ball majority of the time. And if you look at guys that dominate college basketball and have dominated over the years, for every one big, you can go find 15 guards. And that's just how it is. So I think a lot of it is our expectations went through the roof after they played a handful of games. And then I think we saw more of what this team is against Western Kentucky and Georgia Tech.
Real quick before we go, how much better is Mason Jones than you expected?
Oh, 1,000%. That was a guy, and I tell people this all the time, 2 or 3 years ago, he came up to AAO for like a combine, an all-star, this and that. There were all Arkansas kids and probably 10 kids from Oklahoma, Missouri, and at that point in time, he was going to a Missouri prep school. We picked the top 40 kids that were at that camp out of like 120 Arkansas kids, and we were undecided on him, and we did not even pick him to participate in the top 40 game. Once again, this wasn't like Malik and Kayvon and Bobby Portis and Archie Goodwin. It just wasn't a class that was like that. It was Khalil Garland, Darius Hall, a few of those guys, Daniel Gafford. And so this is a guy that looks like he's the second best player on the team, night in and night out. And this is a guy, after they signed him, I didn't know if he was going to be starting. I didn't know if he's even going to be able to contribute. So they're definitely getting a lot out of him. And once again, that's another thing too. You're getting a lot more out of him than what you should be. And this is the point that you're at in the season.
Because imagine if he was what you thought he would be in this first year.
They'd really be struggling.
Yeah, they'd really be struggling, because then it'd just be Gafford and Isaiah
Joe. Think about that. Those are the two guys that they do depend on Gafford. But if Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe don't go out there and hit a lot of threes, this team's just not going to win.
Yeah. Or Jalen Harris doesn't give you 7 or 8 assists tonight. Set it all up.
Yeah, they have certain things that they have to do to be able to be successful.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Go to the phone lines, as we are now joined by Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Richard, and we have to start with the question that we've been asking everybody.
Yeah.
Did you have a good Christmas?
How do you not? Every day, I truly do say this. I know it sounds kind of corny maybe to some, but I believe every day that's a normal day, it's a blessing. Normal day is a good day of health, family, and things of that nature. So I try to be very appreciative about everything, and obviously Christmas is one of those days.
So there you have it. There's Richard's.
Hadn't met one
answer.
Yet. Yeah. Had a bad Christmas.
I think everybody can have at least a good Christmas, a good enough Christmas to talk about it at least. So that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Everybody's asking everyone that question right now.
Yep.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah. And
no one's saying no.
Yeah, exactly. So I think everybody's working out. It's perfect. So, but we have a few things that we want to get into with you, Richard. Obviously, with the early signing period that came to an end, and now everything's moving towards the National Signing Day in February. Everyone's curious about what is the coaching staff doing for the Razorback football team as far as who they're targeting, what they're going about it. So just since early signing day has happened, where are the coaching staff right now as far as who they're looking at, maybe some guys that they're hoping that they can flip or that they can sign? Just what's the overall state of things right now on the recruiting front?
Well, obviously they'll continue to recruit the guys that didn't sign, that are committed. But, you know, for the most part, most of those guys are going to be signing in February. Obviously, you have nothing to worry about with Hudson Henry and Treylon Burks. They delayed their signing so they could have family and friends and sign with their teammates on February. Then Adonis Ote is the one that might have surprised some people, the cornerback from Murfreesboro Blackman High School, Tennessee. He's delaying until February. You got to continue to work on him. Looks like he's going to visit some other schools. If there's a guy that is delaying that's maybe looking around, I would say that he's the one that probably don't have to worry about. But anytime a kid delays signing and starts visiting other schools, you got to be concerned a little bit. But he seems to be pretty solid. You're looking at Dante Walker and Miles Brooks, defensive end and a defensive back. Both of those guys, Arkansas is still, I guess, pretty much evaluating, making sure everything's in order before they sign in February. Then Jalen Catalan, the highly recruited safety from Mansfield Legacy High School in Texas. He's already visited Texas. Will visit TCU in January. He's visited Arkansas during the season. He's the guy that's a major target for this staff. They have some linebacker possibilities, too, that they're definitely working on. Lakia Henry from Dodge City Community College in Kansas. Chris Russell, the high school, very athletic high school linebacker, is really kind of blown up right now. And then Cy Martin from East Mississippi Community College, who made an official visit December 7th and 9th. So really you're looking at all those guys trying to wrap things up. Amonte Spivey, too, running back from Alabama. He's committed, but it looks like he's going to visit Ole Miss January the 25th.
Richard, anybody that I've talked to outside of the state, the first thing that they bring up when it comes to Arkansas football is how in the world – did Chad Morris and his coaching staff get such a good recruiting class? So that's my first question. And then is this something that they're going to be able to maintain? Was this class, do you think it was an outlier, or is this something every year that Arkansas fans can kind of expect Chad Morris and this crew to recruit at?
You know, one thing that really stood out to me soon after they got on campus, after signing day on February of this year, a few weeks later, they had about 50 kids, highly recruited kids on campus. That really kind of spoke volumes to me how they were able to, in a very short period of time, only been on, on campus for about two and a half months, being able to get so many juniors and sophomores on campus like that. That's very impressive. So that they're able to sell and communicate and develop relationships in a short period of time. And I think with them being able to have a relationship with these kids for a full year, kind of see the results. So they're very, very relationship oriented and able to communicate with kids on a consistent basis. They're relentless in that, and that's what you got to do. You got to be relentless in communicating with kids, because if you give another school an opening, that's just another opportunity to possibly lose that particular kid for maybe even visiting or ultimately obviously signing or committing to them. And then if I don't think that this was out of the ordinary for the staff, for going forward, other years coming up. I think you're probably going to see the status quo. I mean, will it be as good of a class as this? I don't know. But I tend to think once they start winning a little bit more and show some progress, I think that's obviously going to make things easier. It was very difficult to recruit this class because the season and how it went, but it's because they had to really be on top of everything. But I think once they start winning some games and kids see progress, I think you're going to continue to see very good classes going forward. And also, now that they've had a year and going on 2 years when they start working on the 2020 class, that's 2 years of relationships you've been building with these guys. So I'm optimistic about the future.
Speaking with Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now in the Morning Rush. Richard, you mentioned the 2020 class. I guess that's where my curiosity is not only can this coaching staff put together another great recruiting class in the 2020 year, but also what needs are they having to address? We know that offensive line was a big hit. Obviously, defensive line, they tried to get some trench play. Are they kind of go with the same formula for the 2020 class, or what are some of the players that they're really going to be targeting to try to get them on campus?
Well, I mean, Pretty much the numbers are the same, except for, you know, when you have a smaller class, you reduce, I'd say, the offensive line or defensive line a little bit by one or two guys. But you usually always sign a quarterback, usually sign a running back or two, and a tight end. You know, every position's usually addressed. So you just may have smaller numbers sometimes because your number, because where you are on the 85, but as far as guys targeting, I mean, there's so many that they've offered in the 2020 class that I think that they have a legitimate shot at. Ray Curry Jr. is one of the premier offensive linemen in the country out of Memphis. He's a guy that continues to say good things about Arkansas. He's about 6'5", 320 pounds. He's visited Arkansas twice, and I think going forward, they're going to be a player with him. Chris Morris, he's another 2020 offensive lineman from the Memphis area. And you see a theme there. Memphis is really going to be an area where they really hit on. Chris Morris is another offensive lineman who has visited Arkansas several times and has Arkansas pretty much in his top three, and he's got 20-plus offers. But then you got Miles Slusher, a quarterback from Oklahoma, who's been on campus several times, and I think Arkansas's got an excellent shot at. He's from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. He's a guy that just raves about the staff. But those are just some off the top of my head. But there's numerous others that they're targeting that I think that they have a good shot at.
Richard, for the guys in the 2019 class that'll be on campus next season, of course, a lot of Arkansas fans believe, okay, all these guys are going to be able to come in right away and make an immediate impact. Do you see, I mean, and you don't have to say exactly which guys, but is this a class that half of the class you can see getting on the field early, the full class, a third of the class? What's your kind of feeling on how many of these guys are going to be able to impact wins and losses next year for the Razorbacks?
Well, there's 8 guys coming in at semester, so you figure that those guys have a better shot than the other guys that come in during the summer. 2 of those are obviously the junior college offensive linemen, but Mateo Soli, 3 defensive ends, Mateo Soli, Zach Williams, and Eric Gregory will be coming in, Shamar Nash, a receiver, and Trey Knox. Usually the skill guys have a better chance of seeing the field just because of the nature of their position, and you don't have to be as developed physically. But these guys are going to be the 2 receivers, Shamar Nash and Trey Knox, are going to be obviously going through off season, go through spring practice. But I anticipate several, especially in the spring, with some of these guys, you'll probably see them maybe make a jump and maybe get ahead of maybe some of the guys that are already on campus. We'll see, but. I think that there's definitely a strong possibility just because of how the season was. You may see a record number of freshmen play immediately next year. I mean, I don't think that's a big surprise.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate you joining us, Richard. Great stuff, man. Looking forward to catching up with you next Thursday. Have a happy new year, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.